Again, if for some reason you have a bulletin that doesn't include a set of message notes, please indicate to us and Ivan will get one to you. Ivan, would you be my additional? So there should be a single page that says God's last words to Moses. Anyone without the sermon notes. It was a late addition. He's kind of like stuffing the comics into the newspaper before it gets delivered. Great. Thank you, Ivan. God's last words to Moses. How many of you have studied about Moses' life in the scriptures? You know, just raise your hand. How many of you have read more about him and looked at him? I mean, some of you have, I know. Yeah. Moses, you know, especially in terms of the Old Testament, the time before Jesus came, Moses was looked to as a leader, and especially for the children of Israel, he was looked to as the one who carried or led the children of Israel out of bondage, out of slavery in Egypt, toward the promised land. Now, that was a long journey. It should have taken just a short amount of time, but because of the process of God working in both Moses' life and heart, as well as the life and hearts of those who were following God, the journey took 40 years. And really, the rhythm of Moses' life is in thirds. The first 40 years of Moses' life were as a prince of Egypt, enjoying all the accolades and privileges of wealth in the most powerful and wealthy country of that time, Egypt. But the second third of his life, the next 40 years, was spent walking around as a shepherd, as he renounced his princely position and began to become acquainted with God, leading simple sheep around the desert. And then the last 40 years of his life were when he took the shepherd's staff and began to lead the children of Israel through the desert toward the promised land. So God did amazing things through Moses' life. But all of it relates to the grace and goodness of God. All of it does. And so as I begin this lesson on the last words that God says to Moses, I asked you earlier, what are some of the most important decisions that you make every day as you decide to follow and listen to God, as you learn to trust and obey him? What are some of those decisions that you make? Moses' life is about trusting and obeying. And it really is, as he led the people of Israel, the children of Israel, through the desert, it was about teaching them to what it means to trust and obey. The main lesson for today is in the notes. Under item C, it says, faith and faithfulness decide our finish. Faith and faithfulness decide our finish. That's the central theme of the passages that we're going to look at as we look at these last words that God gave to Moses. And I have an acronym there, just a little thing that I kind of follow to help me remember how to put all of this into perspective. CPR. CPR, the first way to define it is Christ's powerful reconciliation on our behalf, where Christ injects life into us because he takes the death that we should take on himself and injects a reconciling relationship with God. So God gives us CPR through Christ, Christ's powerful reconciliation. But the second way CPR is defined in Scripture is that it is Christ's purifying regeneration. As we walk with him and he walks with us, he has created in us a new heart. He's brought us back to life, and he teaches us moment by moment how to walk with him, how to make good decisions, how to be able to be regenerated in our relationship with God. Classical words that describe this are justification and sanctification. For those who are Old Testament scholars or New Testament scholars, you know, being treated as if we never sinned because of Jesus, and then being shaped into the likeness of Jesus, sanctification. You remember those words? Somebody ever grew up with those words, you know, in some of your Bible studies? No? For those of us who have been following the Lord, those are very common words in our walks. We don't want to confuse one with the other because we have been regenerated, justified, absolved of all sin, then we are able to be sanctified. It's not sanctification before justification. It's not trying to do good things so that you can be accepted by God. It's being accepted by God through Christ. And then, because of that beautiful relationship, being sanctified. So faith and faithfulness decide our finish. And faith comes first. And then God shows us how to follow him in faithfulness. And that's the main lesson that we learn from Moses. So the three very simple lessons that we have here relate to calling, repercussions, and gift. Those are the three main points I'm going to study with you today that we can take from God's words. Calling, repercussions, and gift. Let's look at the first topic, calling. If we remember that we are not responsible for whatever our mission is, you know, whatever that mission that God has called us to, we're not responsible for the success of that mission. We're only responsible for being faithful to God's calling. That is true in what we see in Moses' life. Let's read from the passage I have there. Deuteronomy 31, 16, some of the last words that the Lord speaks to Moses. He said to him, "You are about to die and join your ancestors." God is giving him a gift, a little recognition that really soon you're going to finish this last third of your life. The 120 year is coming. 120th year is coming, and he's finishing up his task. So you're about to die and join your ancestors, Moses. And after you are gone, you know, God lets him know a little bit of a hint of what's going to happen as he leaves. These people who you've been leading around and who are preparing to enter the promised land will begin to worship foreign gods. At some point, we see in Scripture that happened. They'll worship foreign gods, the gods of the land where they are going. They, these children who you've loved and served and led, they will abandon me and break my covenant, my promise that I have made with them. Kind of bad news when you think about it. You know, if you had poured your life into doing something, if you're building a house and you built it from scratch, say you started with some trees you cut down and you built this beautiful four-story log cabin in the middle of the woods, and suddenly you got this glimpse from God that here's a picture of 50 years from now what this cabin is going to look like. Riddled with termites, beavers are going to use it for fodder, you know, all sorts of strange creatures are going to move in and it's going to just fall apart. It will almost make you feel like, why should I start building this cabin? But the lesson for Moses is this. It's not the success of the mission that matters. I mean, God is in charge of that, whatever success that means. It simply is, you are called to faithfulness to whatever God says you are called to. What is your calling here? What are you called to do now in this next period of time? You think about the decisions that you make day by day. What has God called you to do? Perhaps it's to clean up your house a little bit. Maybe that's part of your calling. Perhaps it's to pray. Perhaps it's to go away to another land for a period of time. Perhaps it's to love your neighbor as you love yourself. What is your calling? God holds you responsible as you think about following him. If you know him and follow him, he only holds you responsible for your particular calling. Now, there's a combined calling of people who follow God, you know, to be able to do some things together. But our parts in it are what God is looking at. You don't gain from the faith of somebody else. It's your faith and faithfulness that God is looking at. I think about that with CCC, as this is the third to the last message I give to you. You know, we're going to be leaving. July 10th will be our last message here. And then around July 16th, we'll be driving away and going toward Los Angeles. God has done some great things during the time that he has allowed us to be fulfilling his calling here. But the ultimate mission success is not up to me or even you. All you are responsible, all I am responsible for, is fulfilling my portion of what God calls me to do. Sometimes we take the weight of the world and feel like, oh, if this fails, it's my fault. Doesn't mean we don't press hard, we don't try and work hard. But ultimately, God is looking for faithful people. It's not success from the world's perspective. It's how faithful are we to what God says we are to do. So So that's the first lesson, calling from Moses' life. The second lesson, repercussions. Now, the word repercussions is a really interesting word. You know, we think about them as kind of results of things that we may decide. And that's one way of looking at it. But the actual word repercussion, break it down. Repercussion. It's like an echo. Imagine the percussion of a cannon breaking forth, or a drum beat, or some note played on a piano. That percussion echoes, and it re-echoes. So what happened with Moses' life is that there were repercussions from some of the decisions he made. Let's look at that. Decisions may have echoes, but we need to surrender these to the Lord. Deuteronomy 34, 4 to 5, the Lord said this to Moses. This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, three of the patriarchs of the Old Testament. When I said to them, I will give this land, this promised land, to your descendants. He said that generations before Moses. I have now allowed you, Moses, to see it with your own eyes. And he was on a mountaintop looking toward the promised land. But he said to him, you will not enter the land. And this is not the first time God had said this to Moses. Part of what had happened is Moses, as he was leading the people of Israel, probably, you know, a million or two in number, leading them through the desert for those 40 years. At some point, Moses, leading this stubborn-hearted, complaining bunch of people, he got frustrated too. And he actually did something that he wasn't supposed to do. Because God had provided water from a rock, you know, just graciously. At some point, Moses decided, because the people were complaining about water in the desert. I mean, of course, you're in a desert. If you don't have any water, you're going to complain about water. And so what he did is he took his staff, which had been used to break open the Red Sea and lead them through the waters there. He decided, because in the past, God had said, strike the rock, and then water will flow out of it. Moses decided, I'm going to do just what I had seen, God had told me to do before. I'm going to strike the rock. And then he said to them, look, I made water come out. He decided, in one sense, to get ahead of God. Water did flow out. But what he had done is taken God's name and made him connected with Moses' own anger. There were repercussions from that anger. And part of the repercussion was not that God said, Moses, I don't love you anymore. There's no relationship with you anymore. But because of that, and because of your very public way of leading your followers astray, leading the children of Israel astray, you cannot enter the promised land. Just like this group, this generation of people, of the followers, was not going to enter the promised land. It may seem really harsh for one action, but because he was a public, open figure leading the group, there is a greater responsibility for those who lead. It's not an easy responsibility. And so what they do publicly, what I do publicly, what you do publicly, has repercussions. And so Moses was told, you, like this other generation that's died off in the desert, and the children were the ones that were going to enter the promised land, like the ones that have died off in the desert, you too will die without crossing the border into the promised land. Excuse me. And so it says there, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, just as the Lord had said. I think about a repercussion in my life. You know, this finger that doesn't quite straighten out is the result of a repercussion. I played football. I ran track. I did karate. I did not play basketball. I decided to take a young man that he and I were kind of growing in Bible study together. I was mentoring him. And we went out to a Catholic retreat center on the island of Oahu, just north of Honolulu, and spent a kind of a silent retreat in this Catholic monastery. And then they had a basketball court, I guess, for the monks. You know, they play basketball without speaking. But we decided to play basketball together. And he was great at basketball. I broke this finger, and this finger has not, I mean, I thought it was just sprained. It has never healed properly. And now, if to get it right, I would have to have somebody with a hammer, I think, and probably re-break it. So there was a repercussion of playing basketball when I shouldn't. But there was another repercussion. That young man that I spent time with, who was a leader in one of our ministries, a couple years later had become interested in a young woman who, a little bit older woman, who had a child and was married to somebody else. Now, they were estranged. She and her husband, they were preparing to go through a divorce. He was abusive. Neither of them were followers of Christ. But my friend, he decided to just, he just had compassion on this family. And I think that was a good thing, compassion. But then his compassion turned into kind of a romantic interest. And he asked me for advice on that. And I said, you know, the Lord says fairly clearly in Scripture that who we're yoked together with is an important decision, especially who we're yoked together with in relationship, whether it's a dating or a marriage relationship. And to be unequally yoked is really against the Lord's best will for us, because it causes us to stumble. It causes our witness to be affected. All sorts of things are the result of that, not the least of which is the image of Christ is marred to some degree, because we say we want this relationship more than we want the relationship with God. So I told my friend, this young man, that God's desire was that he support, but to become involved in this relationship, especially at this moment, was to say you want this relationship more than you want God in your life, and it's a dangerous thing. And I said it as lovingly as I could, but he took that to heart and became very bitter. He did become involved with that woman. He renounced his relationship with God, and I don't know that he really had a relationship with God. It's hard to say, but to this day, for over 20 years, he's been continuing to walk away. His mother consistently asked me to pray for him. And I do. But I know that there are repercussions in his life, not just about how he related to that woman and that child, but how he ended up relating to God and to others. Decisions. There are always repercussions for decisions. That's the second lesson from Moses' life. The third lesson, gift. God has a perfect reward or gift awaiting those who are his children, those who trust and obey. He has a perfect gift waiting for us. Moses, we last have him, you know, in that second passage, standing, looking tired at 120 years old, looking over the promised land, realizing he wasn't going to enter it. But God had a reward or a gift for Moses. And that comes in this last passage from the New Testament, from Matthew. Let's read that. From Matthew 17, verses 1 to 3. 6 days later, Jesus, who is God in the flesh, took Peter, one of the disciples, and the two of the other disciples, James and John, and led them up on a high mountain to be alone. And this is in the promised land, in the land of Israel. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed so that his face shone like the sun. Jesus, God in the flesh, it's like the mask of humanity was peeled away, and Peter, James, and John saw him for who he really was. God, the Almighty God, standing on the mountaintop, preparing to go to the cross for us. So they saw him, and his face shine like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And suddenly, who shows up? Moses and Elijah appear and begin talking with Jesus. Moses symbolized the law, and Elijah symbolized the prophets, and both of them had been pointing consistently toward this Savior, Jesus, who was coming. Moses entered the promised land. He made it in God's timing and in God's perfect way. Now, he was in the presence of God before this point, but somehow, in some way, they appeared, came from the heavenly realms, and came and stood in the place where Jesus was. God had a gift for Moses. It just took a long time to unwrap. It took a while for it to become fulfilled. When we think about it, You know, the crimson thread analogy that I used last week, in which we had the thread run all the way up and down. And I'm not going to unwind it all again. Thank you for those who wound it back up last week. But this crimson thread that runs through all of Scripture, which is the crimson thread of Jesus, our Savior and our Lord, that really pervades every page of the Scriptures. Everything in the Scriptures is about Him coming through this Word of God, through all of history, to show us that He's been at work, and this gift has been present and working and coming and is still being fulfilled. What have you been waiting for? What gift has God promised you? I mean, we all, if you've come into a relationship with the Lord, you have the gift of eternal life. And that's often what we think about. We think about heaven and eternal life with the Lord. But you know, eternal life begins actually right now. For those who have faith in the Lord, it begins at the moment we express faith in Him. And we say, I want you, Lord. Help me to follow you, Lord. Save me, Lord. But you know, we think about heaven as a little bit like the way a two-year-old thinks about a honeymoon. If I told a two-year-old, one day you're going to go on a honeymoon with this, you know, say if it's a little girl, with your husband, you know, maybe that's going to happen. It's a wonderful thing. And she'll say, honeymoon, is that like candy? A little like candy. Is it like playing outside? Yeah, it's a little bit like that. But it's even better. For a two-year-old mind to conceptualize a honeymoon, and the union and the beauty of that with the person that God has called you to be with, if that's your calling, because being single is also a calling. But if the calling is toward marriage, to understand a honeymoon is so far beyond us. So when we look at the words of Scripture and we think about heaven and eternal life, that's a little bit about the way that we think about, you know, heaven. We have this vague notion of lights and beauty and color and joy and peace. But it's better than anything we can ever imagine. And at the perfect time, we will arrive there. But heaven can be in our hearts. Heaven can be exhibited here as we listen to, trust, and obey the Lord. That is the lesson. These are the lessons from Moses' life. The lessons God wants us to remember. The lessons of calling, repercussions, and gift. So I ask you again, what are you awaiting? What is on the horizon for you? And how can God make your calling real right now? God calls us to trust and obey. And I pray for you and for us, for Debbie and I, as we prepare to move across the country, that every moment, every turn, we will trust and obey. I do want to say one thing. Someone asked me about, you know, the route, and we were discussing with Hannah, and Hannah just cried, you know, as we told her that we're coming toward Los Angeles. She had said, oh, I don't want to influence you, but, you know, when we said, this is the decision the Lord has called us to, she just cried, because it really has been a number of years since we've been in the same place. For 4 years of undergraduate, she was in California. We were in Hawaii, and she would back for short stints. But really, you know, she went overseas during her undergraduate years as a missionary, and then there for the couple of years while she was back in Hawaii, and then we went to China, and she was there preparing, going through an EMT program, and then entering her doctorate program in physical therapy. She moved, and then we moved. We have not been in the same place for very long, for quite a bit of years. But for this season, we really believe that's part of what God is calling us to. Now, the route, we thought we'd take our time, but Hannah said, you know, I've got to start a new internship at an Army Medical Center, and I need to work all this stuff out. So I might not be in California for longer than about 3 weeks after you arrive. Then I got to go for 2 months and then come back. So I think we may not drive the leisurely route up through Massachusetts and Maine and then across Canada. I think we may just take a straight shot as fast as we can across the country, but maybe stopping in Chicago since I haven't seen where I was born, other than pictures before we moved to Taiwan. But that's our calling. What is your calling? Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us. Father, for these beloved children of yours, we ask that you would reveal through your Holy Spirit how you want us to be faithful to you, how you want us to trust you moment by moment. And I pray that as we are open, you will reveal yourself, that you will show just how gracious you are. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask if we'll show, just for a brief second, a clip. If you would drag that over to the big screen. This is a clip from a skit, kind of a worship skit called The Stool. And it's a little thought I want to leave with you as you prepare to...
Jesus, I have decided to give you
okay, maybe just stop this. It for a second, please.
Really?
Yeah.
You know whoever sits here makes all the decisions, right?
Okay. Jesus, I have decided to give
you... Would you go ahead and stop it for a second? Just pause
this.
It, please.
Really?
Yeah.
You know whoever sits here makes all the decisions, right?
I know, and I'm always making decisions, but you make the perfect decisions, so you just sit right down and start making them.
Wow, I'm honored. I mean, this feels great.
Kathleen, guess what? I just got my new credit card. It's time to go shopping.
Oh, really? I thought your husband and you were going to pay off debt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, money's kind of tight, but I figured he doesn't have to know about it. So do you want to go?
Jesus, I have decided to
okay.
give you
Let's just
this.
Pause it for a second.
Really?
And
yeah.
then we'll make it bigger,
you know,
please.
Whoever sits...
Okay, if you can make it larger, please. Okay. And then just rewind back. And just to set up again, this little video is food for lunchtime. Think about what's going on in this skit and have this be part of your conversation as you think about your calling and about how that's to be expressed as you follow the Lord. Okay, thank you. Let's go ahead and start that.
Jesus, I have decided to give you this.
Really?
Yeah.
You know whoever sits here makes all the decisions, right?
I know, and I'm always making decisions, but you make the perfect decisions, so you just sit right down and start making them.
Wow, I'm honored. I mean, this feels great.
Kathleen, guess what? I just got my new credit card. It's time to go shopping.
Oh, really? I thought your husband and you were going to pay off debt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, money's kind of tight, but I figured he doesn't have to know about it. So do you want to go with me?
No.
No?
Why?
What I mean is, I don't know. So let me check my schedule, and then I'll get back to you.
Okay, yeah, give me a call.
Okay.
Kat, what's going on?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm kind of one-cheeking it here. Look, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You wanted me to sit here, right?
Well, of course.
And whoever sits here makes all the decisions?
Right.
So what's the problem?
There's not a problem. I don't know what I was thinking. Really, please, here, sit down.
As long as you're sure.
I'm sure.
Okay, so let's start over.
Okay.
All right. Kat, I noticed that you've been losing your temper a lot lately.
Right. So, okay, Jesus, you know what? I know what you're going to say, but see,
you, do?
You don't know the whole situation, you know?
Oh, well, all I'm saying is that your attitude is a decision.
Yes, of course, but I have a lot going on right now.
Well, I know you're under a lot of pressure.
Pressure? Jesus, you don't understand pressure, okay?
This isn't working, Kat.
What?
We can't both sit on the seat. It's either me or it's you.
Okay, I know. You know, I didn't think it was going to be this hard, but here, just take it.
No, I'm not going to take it. You have to give it to me.
Okay, here.
Kathleen, make a choice.
I can't.
You just did.
Jesus, I have decided
now we can
to
stop
give...
We can stop Jesus and repeat. So food for thought. How can you let the Lord sit on the throne of your heart? Now, would the ushers please come forward for this morning's offerings? And again, if you're a guest here today, you are a guest. You're not obligated to participate in the offering. But we use this as part of our way of blessing the neighborhood, blessing those who are seeking the Lord, and to be Christ's hands and hearts, actually here and in many places throughout the world. Thank you, ushers.
When you abide in me, and I abide in you, my words in your heart, child, believe that when you seek my face, make me your first love, and all of the rest will be taken care of. Abide in me, and I'll abide in you. My words in your heart, child, believe that when you seek my face, make me your first love, then all of the rest will be taken care of.
And we'll just close out with just trust and obey. Just let's just sing the chorus, okay?
Trust and obey. To be happy. But to trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other ways to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey.
Please join hands across the aisle. stretch out just a little bit. Introduce yourself to the person you're holding hands with so they don't think you're a stranger. And receive the Lord's blessing. Lord, we ask your blessing upon these, your children, that we might love you more and more each day. Show us how. Give us strength to do so. And let us invite you to sit on the throne of our hearts and to not be tempted to take it back from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please join us downstairs for lunch. My wife is working with a crew to provide a final Hawaiian theme lunch. Though the tears may fall by